The next presentation is from one of our newest partners in the National Federation of the Blind. We're going to hear, especially this afternoon, a lot from our partners in the organized blind movement. This presentation is called Leadership, Partnership, and the Pursuit of Financial Accessibility. We came to know BECU because we knocked on their door, along with the Attorney General of the state of Washington, to ask about accessibility. But to their credit, their response was, of course, but we need your help to know what to do and to know how to do it right. And I think that is really the most important thing to say about our presenter this evening, although he also has an extensive resume. I'd like to bring to you from BECU their Executive Vice President and Chief Digital and Product Officer. Here is Doug Marshall.
Thank you.
Thank you, President Riccobono. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon on behalf of BECU. We are one of those companies that Eva is referring to. So we're pleased to be here today to share our journey towards digital accessibility. Before I do that, I'd love to share just a few things about BECU, because other than our Washington contingent way in the back, my guess is most of you don't know anything about us. There they are. We are, as you know, we're based in Washington. We have about 1.2 million members. We are about $20 billion in assets, and that makes us about the fourth largest credit union in the country. We have about 2,100 employees, and we're really pleased of our place in the market out there in Seattle. So that's a little bit about us. Before I, as I move into why we did this work, because I think it's important for you all to understand the why as well as the what. So we'll talk about the why, we'll talk about the how we did it, and then we'll talk about where we are right now so you can get some sense of how this journey unfolds. For us, the why starts with our values, and probably a lot of the organizations you work with talk about having values. We do that. But the three that are most relevant to this discussion, we think, we have a value called members first. Our customers are called members because we're a cooperative. We're owned by members, not by shareholders. So our first value is members first. Our second value is called people helping people, which seems very relevant to this discussion as well, because ultimately we're all just people. And then finally, and maybe the most important one for this discussion, we have a deep, deep embedded sense of doing the right thing. And as President Riccobono alluded to, that's really what prompted us to move forward, is doing the right thing. It started as a legal issue. It rapidly became a moral issue for us. So that's some context. Again, most organizations have values. So the second part of the why for us is the fact that we actually try and live those out. I could talk all day and give you examples of where we try and live those values out every single day with every single member, but I won't. Just trust that our culture has those values deeply embedded. The third thing that is behind the why is our history. And just to go back for a moment, we have a long history of solving problems. We were founded in 1935, so over 80 years ago, in the depths of the Depression. And our founding story, I think, is relevant to this discussion. We were founded by 18 machinists who pooled 50 cents each to raise $9. We're $20 billion today, so we started with $9. They then made a loan for $2.50 to a fellow machinist at Boeing, because back then you had to buy your own tools. So in order to have your job, you had to buy tools. In order to buy tools, you had to have money. Our members then raised that money so that person could have a job. That's the very first problem we solved, and ever since we've been trying to solve problems, sometimes successfully, sometimes not as much. So with that history, we thought it was important to listen when we heard that we were having some problems. We had heard from our members we were having some problems around accessibility. It started in 2016 when we heard from some members directly in our call centers that they were having difficulty using our online banking tool. We then, in 2017, made an enhancement or two or three to our mobile app. Most of you know what a mobile app is and how important it can be to people's lives. We made some fixes that helped some of our members, but inadvertently made our mobile app much less accessible for our blind and sight impaired members. That was a mistake. So we started to hear from some of our members, in fact, some of them are again in the back of the room so they can attest to this, that it wasn't working. So we were starting to take some action to address that. And then, as President Riccobono alluded to, we heard from himself, Eve, the Attorney General, and perhaps at least as importantly, some of our members were in the room that day. And I'll never forget that day. It was early 2018, and I had not had a lot of exposure to the blind community. One of our members shared their story in response to, we didn't actually ask the question because we knew it was important that we address it. We were trying to understand where should we start. They shared their story of, rather than being able to use our mobile app to make a check deposit, you all are familiar with that, you can make a deposit of your check in the mobile app. For them, it would require a 2-hour-plus trip to get to one of our branches. They would get on the bus, they would get off onto another bus, they would have to walk a ways, get on another bus. So as we heard that story, again, it made it very, very clear to us that we did not have the time to wait to get this addressed. So that's a little bit about the why behind why we tackled this. What you may be caring more about, I know I would, is how do we tackle this? So we sat down, we literally drove back down from Seattle down to beautiful Tukwila and sat down right away and started to plan how we're going to tackle this. And ultimately, we ended up with 6 different things. It was a lot, frankly. It was a lot we had to do. So first of all, we worked with our internal team and laid out a plan. And that plan included, first and foremost, how would we prioritize the work? In our case, Eve talked a lot about websites. Those are critical. In our case, we have digital properties that include our mobile app, our online banking, sort of our desktop experience, and then, of course, our site itself. And we collectively agreed that it was important to tackle the mobile app first because that actually allows you to bank. Second would be the online banking experience for the same reason. And then finally, the website itself. All important, but we had to make some choices and prioritize. The second thing we did, and this was even without pressure, we have to do this because we do this with everything we do, we developed detailed plans. In fact, we ended up with 18 different bodies of work that we identified, and each of those plans had committed dates with efforts to get against those dates and make sure we met those dates. The third thing we did is we invested resources. Again, you've heard that sometimes this work is not that expensive, and it doesn't have to be. In our case, we had to invest significant resources. We added some user experience resources. In fact, one of those resources is right here in the room today. We added some outside development teams. We have a development team that does that work. We had to bring in outside help because, again, this is relatively new to us. And I can go on there, but basically we invested a lot more to make this happen. We then engaged our vendors, and this is different. Many of you might not know, in many cases, we, in addition to doing the work ourselves, we work with outside partners. The great news for us, and I talked about our values earlier, we actually, when we vet our vendors, before we select our vendors, one of the things we look hard at is do they share our values. So when we showed up and said, we have an issue here, we need to improve accessibility, you need to help us, the response wasn't, no we don't. The response was, well, of course we have to. And they've been a really, really important part of this puzzle. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But that was the next thing we did. Finally, almost, we then developed policies and procedures to ensure that once we got this work done, it was sustained. The last thing we want to do is invest in this effort, get accessibility to where it needs to be, and then go backwards. And then, as you heard me say, we are a members first organization. So along the way, this is the 6th important part of how we engaged our members along the way. Specifically, we would make a change. We would then reach out to some of our blind members. We had a little panel set up, work with them to see if those changes had in fact made it better or in fact perhaps worse or maybe no change. This is very important because along the way we discovered sometimes we got it right, but a couple of times we got it very, very wrong. And so we actually had to go back and make a change. So really important to have those members involved along the way. So that's some how. Thank you. That's the how. Many of you may be wondering, I know I would be again, so where are we? What did all that work result in? I can start by saying we're not done yet. This is, I guess you're never ever done, but we're not quite where we want to be, but we thought it was important to come today and share at least where we are now. So we've made great progress on those 18 bodies of work. About 3 of those 18 we're not quite done with. And again, thanks to the collaboration with Eve and others, we know we have to get that work done and we will be. The second thing we've done, we realize that as we add new features, for example, there's a product called Zelle that's very similar. Some of you may use Venmo. I believe it's an accessible product. I'm not 100% sure. As we add those products, we want to make sure that those are also accessible. So that's the second thing we've embedded in our process and procedures so we don't go backwards. The next thing we're doing is we're continuing to add resources. In fact, one of my colleagues is here today and attended the employment session. We're actively looking for two people to join BECU to do quality assurance testing. They need to be blind to do the work right. So if you know someone, send them our way. We'd love to hire them. That's an example of our resources. Finally, we're continuing to lead our vendors. Our vendors are not done. They've actually told us that our work with them has forced them to go and do an even better job with some of their other financial services partners. So we think we've raised the bar for our vendors and hope we've done that for other financial institutions. We'll see. And then finally, and this is probably the one personally that's been the most gratifying, we started with digital accessibility. As you've all heard today, that is vital in an increasingly digital world. But what I love about our organization, and again, we're all the way out there up in the corner of the country in Seattle, but we have this deep commitment to getting better. And so as we started to think about it, we realized, wait a minute, the kiosks in our branches that you use to check in to make an appointment with one of our consultants are digital. They're not accessible. So we've already realized we need to get that fixed. And in fact, I met someone today at the booth that's going to help us get that done. Secondly, we have realized that even some of our marketing material, I mean, who doesn't want to be marketed to, right? Blind or not, you want to be marketed to, perhaps. We realize that material isn't compliant, and so we've embedded closed captioning, we've embedded text, we've made some enhancements there. And then the last thing is the one that I'm the most proud of. It's a very, very small one, but it means a lot to us. As we looked around, we realized that the checks we provide to all of our members, including blind members, we actually have, or sight impaired, we have a large font version of that check. We discovered that those checks are significantly more expensive, A, than they needed to be and should be. So we actually went back to our check vendor because they charge us and said, explain to us why a check that has large font is more expensive than a check that has small font. Clearly, the additional ink you need can't be that much more expensive. And they said, you're right. And so now we charge the very same price for small font checks as we do for large font checks. So. So again, a journey, but we feel like we've made tremendous progress, and we feel like we've really embedded this more deeply in the organization. I've heard several of you say today as I've spoken with you, it's about culture, and it is. So to wrap up, if I was thinking about tackling this issue from your perspective and was going to approach an organization of any kind, I think I'd say this. First, enter into a dialogue. Many of you have and many of you will, but enter into a dialogue. Make it sure it is a conversation. Again, that first meeting we had was a conversation, and we're grateful for that. And don't be afraid to share your stories. As I said, that story, the entire meeting was great, but that story was a very, very powerful part of the puzzle for all of us that were in that meeting that day. Second thing is make sure when you work at that organization, you understand the organization, the environment they work with. Do they have vendors? Do they have a complicated architecture? Don't let them off the hook, but just make sure you understand. Third thing is, as we did, work together with that organization to help develop a plan, make sure there are hard commitments in it, but work together with that organization. Don't leave it to them and don't leave it to you. And then, as I said, make sure that plan is sustainable, because again, as you've heard throughout the afternoon, we can't stop doing this stuff. So those are some thoughts. Finally, as I wrap up, just a couple of thank yous. First, thank you again for the opportunity to be here on behalf of BECU to share this. Again, to qualify, we know we're not done, but we wanted to share some thoughts along the way. Second, I'd like to thank my colleagues that are here, Jessica Schultz, Mike Ryan, Oba Khan, who are a big part of why I'm up here talking. They made it happen, so thank you to each of you. Thank you again to Eve and to President Riccobono for being the prompt that got us to get this done. We appreciate that prompting. And then last, again, thank you to our blind members way there in the back. On a personal level, this is important. There they are again. For the organization, it made us a better organization, and we always strive to be better, so thank you for that. And I will say and then end on a personal note, I've been at this a while. If you can see me, you know I'm old, and I love what I do, but I'm always trying to learn. And this experience, as on a personal and professional level, has been one of the most interesting and engaging. So thank you for helping me stay young at this late life in my career. So thank you again for your comments today.